A little over 2 hours ago, the Nashville Predators announced they have fired head coach Peter Laviolette, effective immediately, and associate coach Kevin McCarthy as well. Welcome in Preds Extra, breaking news edition, Chase McCabe alongside Penalty Box Radio's Justin Bradford, Max Herz behind the glass. And Justin, let's just get right to it. And also, we're going to open the phone lines this hour, 615-737-1025. You can call, you can text if you want to react to Peter Laviolette being fired as the head coach. Go right ahead. I'm going to be honest with you, on a scale of one to holy moly, I was at holy moly. I did not think David Poile would make an in-season coaching change. I really didn't. I just, in his 37-year history as a general manager, he's done it twice, and that was pretty early on when he was with Washington. We're now going into, I can't believe I'm saying this, the third head coach in the history of the Nashville Predators. and it's coming in season. So I sat there rinkside watching the Winter Classic. I watched the two games over the weekend. I saw flashes of good. I saw bad. I saw everything in between. I still did not think on a Monday evening we would be talking about Peter Laviolette no longer being the head coach of the Nashville Predators, but here we are.
I mean, to me, this speaks volumes on so many different things. So my shock level was at maybe a 7.
Okay.
Just in terms of the timing of it, not that it wasn't deserved or needed or necessary or anything like that, but more of the timing of it, because it, a little more understanding to me, talking with Jeremy Keg over during Winter Classic, I think the Predators wanted to get through that, at least see where they were going on the road trip. Then you have, obviously, injuries take place, which are no excuse, really. Illness take place, no excuse, really. But get through the Winter Classic, get through the road trip, get home. And so you think today what happened, yeah, they're home, they probably, you know, all met as a group, and who knows what happened in the room. But then it broke, and you get to the rush hour time, and news gets released. And luckily, I'm still at work and on a computer and on a rush hour traffic trying to read my phone and to see that all this is breaking news. So I'm going to go.
I'm shocked nobody broke it, that the team actually released it.
Inner circle thing. So it might have been one of those things that was a tight-knit decision yeah. right there in the small group, that it wasn't one of these things that was leading up to it, that they made a decision during a meeting, which leads me to this, which let's just jump right into this, Chase. Was this a similar situation that we saw with the Tennessee Titans and Mike Mularkey falling on the sword for his assistant coaches?
Yeah.
Because it's a package deal situation, Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy, that has been that way for their careers, really. They're a package deal. They're a duo. So was this the kind of thing where, I'm posing this as a question, we don't know, we don't have any inside information, whereas, please, you know, we need to fix this a little bit, get rid of Kevin McCarthy, and we'll see where it goes the rest of the season, and then... No, okay, well, we're sorry, we have to relieve both of your duties. Potentially, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and there is a chance that... let me back up. Yes, I think that does have something to do with it. At the same time, and I said this in the 6 o'clock hour, so I'm going to say this again. The blame of the problems with this team right now go on Peter Laviolette, they go on Kevin McCarthy, they go on Dan Muse. They go on David Poile. They go on every player in that locker room. There's a share for everyone. But here's how this works. You can't fire every player in the room. I know that Elliot Friedman comes on our show every Thursday at 1 o'clock, and he threw out there that we know that David Poile has been trying to trade Kyle Turris. He said Craig Smith's name is out there as well. He's named that, you know, there are other players that he's floating. He told us tonight that he doesn't think the Predators would want to do it, but a player that you could move is Nick Bonino. So David Poile is shopping. He's trying to shop players. He's trying to change things up. He told us last week when he was on doing the weekly that, listen, you know, either the people change or you got to change the people. And I get that. But at the same time, there's one person that usually falls on the sword in situations like this, and it's the head coach. Because right now, I mean, you're not making a general manager change, nor necessarily should you. I don't think that you should do that. You have to give David Poile, who has been here since day one, who's been the architect, who has built this, you have to give him the opportunity to fix it. And we both know, covering this team for a long time, that he is so methodical in how he does things. And he talks to people, and he has his inner circle. And I think he's gone through that entire process and has looked at it all and finally came to the conclusion the message has to change. And the only way to change the message is I have to change the voice. And that's exactly what he did. And I'm sure it was a very, very, very hard decision for him. I'm sure this is a very hard night for Peter LaViolette and Kevin McCarthy, but they get it. I mean, they've been through this before.
Of course, Peter LaViolette
has been through this a few times now in his career. But, you know, as I look on it and I let it all digest, if you have tried literally everything except firing the coach and nothing has changed, that leads you to one conclusion. And I hope that this team, as talented as they are, can take this and look at themselves in the mirror right now and go, okay, now it's on us. Okay, we got a new guy coming in, and we don't know who it is. I mean, a lot of times when they send a release like that, they'll say, you know, X is the interim coach. You know, if it was going to be Carl Taylor, and I know Adam Vingan of The Athletic has reported it's probably not going to be Carl Taylor, who is the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals, I feel like if that was the direction they were going to go, it would have been done. Folks listening out there, let me explain something to you. David Poile is closer to the end of his career than the beginning. The man wants a Stanley Cup.
Right.
And he wants it here. I'm sure Carl Taylor's a great coach. You have dealt with him much more than I have. I know you have talked to him a few times. I'm sure he's a great coach and will probably be an NHL head coach. This team is in win-now mode. They have to go get somebody that is proven. I said earlier, I think it's Peter DeBoer. That's my vote. I understand what Elliot Friedman told us. They haven't contacted him, at least as of that time. I know John Hines' name has been thrown out there. There are connections.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of look at it as maybe it's time to break away from some connections. Get a completely different outside voice that doesn't have any connections to this organization, to David Poile. Do your due diligence. But I think you got to kind of look at shaking things up.
Well, and let's look at this. You hit on a couple different things, too. And not saying
I went all over the place.
Yeah, no, I mean, you hit on a multitude of things that I think a lot of people are thinking as well, because it's hard to organize thoughts when all this is happening, especially mid-season, because it's not like you have a few weeks to break it down. It's, oh, God, there's a home game tomorrow. Who's going to be behind the bench?
Yeah, the coach is TBA.
Yeah, we know two of the coaches that will be there, but who's going to be in charge of that thing? You have Dan Lambert. So you have Dan Squared heading up the bench there. But what you hit on, too, is a lot of things. The players know that it is on them now. It is completely on them to take charge of it. And that's the thing we saw with the inconsistencies. We know this team is talented, that they have the talent to go out. Even with the goaltending struggles this season, they still have enough firepower to go out and win. Roman Josi's put this team on his back multiple times a season to at least make sure they got a point. Or the two points when they maybe didn't deserve it necessarily as well. So even more so, it goes on to the players to know that they have to make up for it. Now, you look in the past where it's happened and been successful. Does it mean it's going to happen all the time? No, but it happened with Pittsburgh. Change coach midseason goes on. And then obviously the St. Louis thing, which is a one in a million type of thing to be in last place. Pittsburgh was not in last place when they changed their coach.
And the Preds aren't in last place either.
And obviously they had... You have Crosby and Malkin as well, and that's you have the talent. The St. Louis one is the real one that is just shocking. So does that mean the Predators are going to go in with the Stanley Cup? Now, who knows? But the message now will be fresh, and let's see how they respond to it, whoever is in charge. But just like you said, Chase, for me, I would prefer the Predators for the longer term, which in today's NHL is 2 or 3 years, go for something that's a little new. Aside from what happened with Dallas, with Jim Montgomery and we dealing with alcohol abuse and everything like that, in terms of coaching, he was perfect fit for the Dallas Stars. Look what he's already done with them to make them competitive, with the talent they have, with his systems that he brought in from college. You're seeing it in Boston. You're getting a guy that comes from college. I would like the Preds to go somewhere a little bit different with that and not get someone that's been all the way through in the NHL before, because good, fresh mouths sometimes are going to do well for it because it's a different kind of message instead of an old-school way of thinking. This league is evolving so quickly, and that was one of the things as well that we've seen now in the past couple years is that Peter LaViolette's system, per se, was really good when you saw they made that cup run. They were able to be the 8th seed and make them push forward, then go and win the President's Trophy, but teams started figuring it out, and the league continued to evolve to adjust to how to defend that system. They were able to defend the system because we saw things starting to get clogged up. Winnipeg figured it out. Shut down the Predators. Dallas, with the systems that Montgomery is running, shut down the Predators as well. So it's an evolving league, and it's getting the coaching staff that can evolve with that, which is extremely difficult to do, to get that right coaching staff with the right message that you can continue to change your systems and tweak them enough so we can remain competitive where teams can't just figure you out.
Yep, I completely agree with that, and that's why I go with changing the message and changing the voice, change the system, however you want to put it. This team needed change. And I feel like if if you really step back and then you, if you're David Poile, if you're Peter Laviolette, everybody's going to look at that and go, you know what? It was time. We needed some change. And I think we all remember the day that was a tough day when they held a press conference over there and they said, you know what? Barry Trotz is not returning as the head coach. Everybody that had anything to do with this team, whether you were a fan or you covered it as media, knew it was time. Barry Trotz will tell you it was time. It was time for a change. Now, I know a lot of you on Twitter are like, hey, bring him back. He's busy. We're watching his game right now. So he's busy as the head coach of the Islanders.
I'm doing pretty well at that.
And doing pretty well. Those times have passed. But it's time for the next person to come in here and inherit a very good team and see what they can do. Is this team going to go win the Stanley Cup? I don't know. Can they? I think they can.
To figure it out.
If they go in there and get everybody on the same page and say, hey, figure it out or get out, because that's honestly what needs to happen, then I think this team is perfectly capable. But that's where they're at. I mean, this is a talented group, and there are some guys that I think need to hear the, you're either in or you're not.
The push.
Yeah.
Look, and this is a thing, not saying it's going to be the same way. St. Louis had the talent, had sure. plenty of talent. It's not like they were underdogs, really, when you think of it like that. They had talent that was underperforming. Underdogs in terms of their seeding, where they were, and underdogs in terms of how they were in January, being in last place and everything, but they were underdogs in talent. It's a very different system when you think of it like that, that they were underdogs in that way, but they had the talent as proven, and then you have a fresh goaltender come in as well and play lights out in Jordan Binnington.
Yeah.
That's Binnington, not Bennington, for plenty of people out there that love to misspell player names and say, he's my favorite player. But you saw that as well, too. The players had to buy in, and you saw that change. Something instantly changed, and Craig Berube had his experience as well. I mean, look, he was let go from Philly and everything, and just sure. underperforming as a coach there, and then he comes in, and now St. Louis is continuing to be good. It wasn't a fluke that it shows that they had the talent, had to be motivated just a little bit differently to get to that next level. So the Preds went to that level to make it to the Stanley Cup final. They've won every banner they could except for the big one that's the most important. So Laviolette took them there. Who's going to take them to the next level?
We are going to discuss that. He is Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio, Chase McCabe, Darren Donick, and Chase. Weekdays 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, if I could spit it out. When we come back, we will discuss who could be the next head coach of the Predators. But first, I will tell you who is not going to be the next head coach of the Predators. And I want you all to get very close to your radio and listen when we come back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. If you're not in your car, you can check us out on that app. Just search the Game Nashville in Google Play or the iTunes App Store. You can also listen at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe, Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio here with you, discussing Peter Laviolette being out as the head coach of the Nashville Predators. Kevin McCarthy also relieved of his duties as associate coach. So it's definitely been a wild day here in Nashville, really a wild few hours. Let me read this statement from General Manager David Poile, and then I'll tell you who's not going to be the head coach of the Preds. Quote, under the leadership of Peter and Kevin, our organization reached unprecedented heights. From our franchise-altering run to the Stanley Cup Final, to our President's Trophy, and our first two Central Division titles, Poile said. Their passion for the game, ability to motivate a team, and drive to be the best makes this a difficult decision. On behalf of our entire organization, I would like to thank Peter and Kevin for all their contributions to the Nashville Predators over the past 5.5 years. End quote. That is David Poile. There's more in the statement, but that's the gist of it, as Peter Laviolette is now out as the head coach of the Nashville Predators. So here's who's not going to be the next head coach. I love Twitter. I do.
Why?
I get caught
in the
cesspool.
It's a terrible free site.
I get caught in the cesspool. It's just sometimes you can't. It's like a train wreck. You just can't look away. And I'm one of those people sometimes. I'll get on there and I'll stir it up and make fun of backup quarterbacks and get blasted for it. But anyway,
oh boy,
I have been reading tweets since this came down.
It was about a former captain?
Yes, it's about a former captain. Several of you have asked, could the Predators hire Mike Fisher as the head coach? I'm not piling on. I'm trying to give you a real answer.
Why?
They're not going to hire Mike Fisher as the head coach. He doesn't have any coaching experience.
But St. Louis, that was Craig Berube.
He's never coached.
He's catching deers.
He's catching deers. He's raising kids.
He's living the life.
His wife's Carrie Underwood. I mean, like,
end of story.
I wouldn't do it just for that. I can go to concerts anytime I want to.
It's not going to be Mike Fisher.
No.
Stop it.
Look.
Stop it.
If he were on the staff as an assistant, or if he were in the organization in some capacity, okay, I could see it. But he's just a retired player with no coaching experience. I understand people going, well, but when he came back, I mean, the team changed. When he, you know, they went to seven games with Winnipeg and almost got back to the third round. I mean, he changed something in the locker room. He did. I agree. I mean, he brought leadership. You could tell that Roman Josi really learned from having another year with Mike Fisher there. He's not head coach material.
You're holding back, I can tell.
It's just you're in win now mode. This team is in win now mode. So you want somebody with experience, and Mike Fisher doesn't have any experience. I love Mike Fisher. Anytime I see Mike Fisher, I just wanna hug him. I mean, he's just a great person.
It's because of the chin.
He's
got a beautiful jawline.
He's got the, you know, the scruff going on.
Oh, yeah. The flannel.
Piercing eyes. You know, look, I just, Roman Josi and Mike Fisher.
We may have to go to break, Max.
Two prettiest predators of all time. honestly, I'm getting choked up here. You know, I'm a little delusional right now because it was already a long day with everything, and then this comes out at 5:30. So I'm just kind of going with it.
Just kind of rolling with
Monday
it.
Monday night. But yeah, so it's not going to be Mike Fisher. But who will be the next head coach? We'll discuss that in just a second. But first, let's go to the phone. 737-1025. Dan in Nashville wants to weigh in. Dan, welcome into Preds Extra.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
So one key thing that we've missed here since the playoff run has been special teams, and that was back when the Preds established themselves as a defensive powerhouse. And the man behind the scenes of all that is currently serving as a defensive coordinator and power play coach for the Arizona Coyotes. I vote bring back Phil Housley. I know he didn't do great at the Sabres, but, I mean, other than Eichel, I mean, what weapons did he have really to work with? You know, I think now with all the talent and firepower that Nashville has, Phil Housley's got to be in the running and a strong consideration. You know, he wants to get behind the bench and be a head coach again.
Dan, appreciate the call. I don't disagree with that. I think that Phil Housley got a raw deal in Buffalo, if I'm just being honest.
He didn't. He didn't have enough time.
Yeah, they did not give him enough time to get that thing together. I think Phil Housley is a hell of a coach. Loved dealing with him here. The problem is, and Elliot Friedman pointed this out, because I did bring Phil Housley up with him earlier tonight. He's under contract. He's an assistant coach with the Arizona Coyotes. I understand it would be a step up because he would be going from assistant to head coach, but there are a lot of loopholes. There are a lot of, or not loopholes. There are a lot of things that hoops. That's what I'm trying to say. You got to jump through to hire a current assistant coach.
Oh yeah. Not happening.
And so if it were the summer, then sure. I could see it. I could definitely see his name being out there because I do believe Phil Housley is going to get another shot at it of being a head coach. But right now, it's going to be too hard to pull that off. I think they're going to get somebody that's on the couch that has head coaching experience. And also, like I said, I love Phil Housley, but I think you need to go deeper. I think you need to go somebody that has done it and had more experience. Go answer that, and then I'll tell you who my number one
is. Here's the thing, though. At this point in the season, if you're going to get – are you getting an interim? As an interim, are you hiring a new head coach? Because we all know more become available at the end of the season. That's for not just NHL, that's for college, that's junior, minors, all these things more become available where you actually can do a coaching search as teams start exiting their runs for the season. So late March, April, for college hockey coaches, things like that. So if you're going that direction, what there? Now, the Phil Housley thing, like you said, he got a raw deal there because he only had two seasons in Buffalo, and he improved in those seasons. I guess he didn't improve enough for Buffalo, but he improved the team by 14 points from year one to year two, but it just wasn't enough because the expectations are high there given the talent, I guess, that they have there in the forward core with Jack Eichel. Buffalo's having an okay season, but I still think it was too soon to get rid of Phil Housley there. Now, do I think that it'd be a good fit for the Preds head coach? I don't right now. I think he was great working with the power play unit and working with the defense core here in Nashville, but I don't think he'd be the right one right now to take this team to the next level. Again, what we were talking about is next level, and that's fresh is what we really are looking for here. So I obviously love what Phil Housley did for special teams and is able to make the defenseman even more mobile, because that's what he was when he played, was a mobile defenseman, is able to rack up the numbers and look at the influence
Ryan
he had.
Ryan Ellis owes him a lot.
Yeah, Ellis and Yossi even, and what he was able to do with those two players as well. So I think he'll be, you know, the head bench boss again someday, but I don't think it'll be in Nashville. I still think more fresh. And again, even though people are saying Phil Housley, he has a job right now. He's under contract. Not like a player you can just trade. Yeah. We're going to give you two first-round picks for Phil Housley. I mean, it's not the NBA.
Right.
You're trading picks like that for coaches. So anyways, Chase, you had an idea.
I do. I do. The guy that I think they should hire, you've actually shared an elevator with before. I think it's Peter DeBoer. I look at what he did out in San Jose. I mean, it was last – they won the Western Conference in 15-16. They eliminated the Predators in seven games. So they went to the Western Conference Championship and then won it, went to the Stanley Cup Final. He won the Eastern Conference Final, went to the Cup Final with New Jersey early in 11-12. And last year they were in the Western Conference Final. So he has success, and I feel like he fits what this team has right now. I feel like he fits the makeup of this team. Now, I threw that name out on Twitter, and I got a mixed review, which, I mean, that's Twitter. So I think people are mixed on him. That's when the Housley stuff and Mike Fisher.
I have history of Pete DeBoer.
Yeah.
I mean, you rode an elevator together.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. I'm just reaffirming that there. I have great history with him. You know, huge, long history of all of 30 seconds.
I think of the hireable coaches.
Oh, he's hireable for sure.
Yeah. He's the best one available.
But are you doing on the interim saying, hey, Pete, we're going to bring in to finish the season?
If you bring him in, I don't think it's an interim.
But what do you think that's the kind of thing, though, they could pull off with a coach? Say, we're going to place an interim tag just to finish the season, and we're going to do a coaching search, and you're more than welcome to apply. That could be a case as well with any of these guys.
Well, yeah, but then if you're Peter DeBoer, you go, eh, thanks.
Yeah, but then you're getting paid more finishing the season.
Well, you're getting paid by San Jose.
You're getting paid by San Jose, but you're getting paid now by two teams.
Yeah.
And you finish the season, and it's basically an audition. So where you prove that, hey, you have an opportunity. I'm just saying that could be a case here as well, because why rush to a decision?
I would do that with John Hines.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, do we have Elliot Friedman? Elliot Friedman earlier today gave his thoughts on John Hines.
The other one that jumps into my head, and we've talked about this before too, is John Hines. There's a connection there with Jeff Kelty, the assistant general manager. There's also a USA Hockey connection there with David Poyle. And, you know, plus also he worked in Jersey. David Poyle and Ray Shiro are tight. Shiro would give him probably a good recommendation.
There you go. That's Elliot Friedman earlier tonight on Preds Insiders. And he joins Darren Donick and Chase every Thursday at 1. So you can hear him. Here's my trepidation on John Hines.
Ooh, what a word.
I know. How about that? I don't use that word a lot. I look at New Jersey. And that's another team that they don't have the same talent that the Predators have. I mean, they're young. They're a young team. But that's a bad team. That is a really bad team. And I don't think they should be as bad as they are. And I put a lot of that on development and John Hines. I mean, Ray Shiro can share some blame too. At the same time, while I respect David Poyle's relationship with Ray Shiro and Tom Fitzgerald, I respect the fact that John Hines has some connections to Jeff Kelty. I go back to what I said earlier and I say, I think it might be time to do something different that you don't necessarily have connections to. Peter Laviolette, the only connection was that he worked at USA Hockey the same time that Poyle did. So they overlapped there. It was a different voice because he in my mind was a complete opposite of Barry Trotz.
Right.
From a coaching standpoint. That's the direction they needed to go. I kind of feel like you're at a in another position where you need to do the same thing. And so I know Peter DeBoer may not be the sexiest hire, and it may not, but if you're doing this in season, you're kind of limited. So to your point, if you go interim tag, I think that probably limits you on some names that are available. There's going to be some that are willing to do that. There are going to be some that aren't willing to do that. And then you reevaluate this summer. The problem with that is, in my mind, you're saying, okay, this is it. This is the last roll of the dice with this group. And then if it doesn't work with an interim tag, I'm going to blow it up. I'm going to hit the button. I'm going to blow it up. And then the conversation becomes completely different, because then we're going to be looking at the general manager a lot closer than we are right now.
So how about we discuss that in the next segment then, too, because David Poile already said that things are on the table, players on the table.
Yeah.
What could change? Because when you say players on the table, it's not just guys that are unrestricted free agents coming up. It's more than that. If you're going to blow some things up, not a full blow up, but change some things up like we've seen him do in the past, what could that potentially be, especially on a new head coach? Because new head coach means they need some different staffing on the ice as well to make sure they're fitting their systems a little bit more appropriately, too.
Completely agree with that. He's Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio, Chase McCabe of Darren Donick and Chase Moore. Preds Extra next, ESPN 105 The Game.
Well, we're looking to change things up a little bit, because we can't let or want the players to be just take everything for granted. Not that they necessarily are, but you know, if the people aren't going to change, not to be smart here, but you got to change the people every once in a while. The only levers that we have as managers or coaches is the ice time or the them playing in the games.
David Poile on with Darren McFarland and yours truly last week at the Winter Classic. He usually joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. Obviously, that is going to change tomorrow. He's a little busy. He's going to have a press conference at 11:45, but we hope to have him on this week for his weekly appearance. Now, the question that he was asked was about the roster. I mean, just bringing young guys in. You've obviously had several call-ups from Milwaukee here in the last couple weeks. And, I mean, Yakov Trenin has been playing lights out, doing a really good job. Colin Blackwell, another one of those guys. So that was where the question was directed. But I listened to that, and he was standing right next to me when he said it, looking right at me, and I'm going, hello, message. You've been sent. Because that's exactly what it was. I mean, it was sending a message. And David Poile, as I said earlier, is methodical in what he does and in the things that he says. So I felt like that there was definitely something being sent. I didn't think the coaching change was coming less than a week later.
Reading between the lines has joined the chat.
Yes. Basically.
No, and it's curious now, because this happens and there's a reason for it. And we discussed in the first segment, get through the Winter Classic, get through the road trip, get home. There's very limited home games too for Nashville this month. Very limited. I think four home games this month. So you have that. Then you're leading up into February into the trade deadline. So this is obviously strategic, not just because of team performance. Yes, that has a lot to do with it, but it gives you time to whoever you bring in. You see what's needed as well. You see, yes, because he's mentioned, are they going to be sellers? Are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be a little bit of each, which they absolutely could be, to tweak this roster the way they need it to be. Do we all know they need some work done on the third pairing? Yup.
A little bit.
It hurts a little bit with Ellis being out for who knows how long. Fabro's out day-to-day, but he's not on the IR. So you're having guys from Milwaukee come up and Tenorti having to play just on the second pairing, and the third pairing being a little raw as well. And then luckily, with Yakov Trenin, he's playing well. Colin Blackwell's actually done okay in his role as well in the fourth line. But your question now is, if you're going to sell, what are you going to sell, and what are you getting in return? Are you building for the future, trying to keep that cup window open? Are you going to solidify the third pairing by trading something else away? Do you trade away Mikael Granlund, who has not necessarily fit well with this team, even though we know he has the talent, and his numbers, his stats, his fancy stats show that he can do better as well, and he's not getting the high-danger opportunities that he should be having as well, given the talent that he has. Is he up there? Because there might be some other teams that could see the talent in him. We know what he's done in the past. He's just not fitting in the Nashville right now. Or do you let the new coach come in and say, okay, you're going to do this, and you're going to be a lot better? There's so many different things to talk about now of UFAs upcoming. There could be some trade bait out there to give him some wiggle room, and then you look at all these guys that are still under contract, like a Kyle Turris. Does that mean a new head coach? It means they're going to get along really well, because we all know there was just some sort of lineup decision history between Peter Laviolette and Kyle Turris. What's going to happen there? There's so many question marks of what the new coach, interim or not, is going to throw out there in terms of what he thinks this team will need to be successful.
I just, you know, I'm trying to think of names and who might fit what. I mean, we've thrown out Peter DeBoer. Is Randy Carlyle? He's out there.
You
isn't
shut
he?
Your mouth right now, Chase McCabe.
I'm just throwing out names.
You shut it right now.
I'm not saying I want him. I'm just throwing out names.
Don't give people ideas. They're listening. They'll put on social media, and then it's how rumors start.
Chase McCabe from 102.5 The Game.
Randy Carlyle. E5. Yeah,
don't do that. Don't say that. Come on. That's just.
Sorry, I had to.
I think too, when you look at the roster and trades and all that stuff, now you let it. You got to let it simmer. And to your point, because you bring in the new voice, and all of a sudden these players that maybe haven't been playing to their full potential, they could turn it on, because the new voice gets them motivated in a different way. So I wouldn't be so quick to make trades and you know, blow this thing up. And I don't think David Poile will be. Granlund's an interesting one, just because I loved the move when they made it.
Sure.
Absolutely loved the move when they made it. It hadn't worked. For whatever reason, he hasn't worked. And so I think figuring out a way to get him going. And quite frankly, here's another one. You paid Matt Duchene a lot of money. Paid him a lot of money. Been good, but he hadn't been great.
He hasn't taken over like when he did in Columbus.
And that's exactly what you need him to do. You pay him a lot of money, you got to get him to take over. Ryan Johansson, paid him a lot of money. He's got to take over. Philip Forsberg, he's been okay. He's been better than them, I would say. Arvidsson was hurt and has come out being Arvidsson. But, you know, I think that they got to get away or not get away. I love the fact that you have the line of Bonino, Smith, and Grimaldi that have been carrying the water, and they have been just grinding and getting after it. I love that. I don't want that to stop. However, I would love for the players that you pay a lot of money to start doing what they need to do as well. And maybe a different system can help them do that.
Because your top line players should be producing like top line players. And in addition, your third line is what puts you over the edge.
Yeah.
Your top six is what carries the team. And your third line is what is that difference maker to win a championship. We've seen it how many times? I say this so many times. That third line with Bonino's with Pittsburgh, the HBK line, was the difference maker for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Third line makes the difference. Your top six leads you. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how the team's supposed to be made up, is that your third line makes a difference. They're not supposed to be leading the team in everything.
Right.
That's a problem when you have your third line role players who aren't bad players by any means, but matchup-wise, the third line makes the difference because they're the ones that are going to be matched up against weaker defensive talent. Your top six is supposed to be able to produce against stronger defensive talent on the opposition, and your third line, as long as you're matching them up well, especially at home, Nashville on a Saturday night, should be making the difference to where you're getting those wins. Establish that role to where you're making that third line make a difference, not leading the team. They should never be the ones that are making that huge difference of, well, they're out there doing it again. Well, it should be talking about the top six out there doing it again and having point streaks all the time, having 3-4 game point streaks, scoring, having multiple point games, having 2-goal games, things like that, not the third line. And that's nothing against them again. It's just that they're supposed to be the difference maker line, not the ones that's leading the team. You have three lines that can set up your scoring. That's how you're successful. That's how you win a cup.
I also want this team to do one thing under the new head coach. I'm tired of, and I said this earlier today before I knew any of this was coming, I am tired of having the conversation of, well, you know, if you look at the game against the Ducks, considering, you know, how they came out in the first period and, you know, they didn't play well, they battled back and they got a point. I'm tired of that conversation. I'm tired of saying that. You know what? They should have gone in and beaten the crap out of the Ducks.
Because they're awful.
They're better than the Ducks. And they got to start playing like it. And I don't know what you have to do to get these guys that we're talking about to wake up and start playing like they should, like I know they can. You know, I feel like a dad. I'm talking to my kid. Like, I know you can do better on that math test, son. I mean, I heard that so many times that if you just apply yourself in school, you'll do better. That's what I'm looking for. All right? This isn't a team of David Legwands. This is a team of, yeah, I went there. The team,
Petey,
I hope you're listening. Petey, I hope you heard that. This is a team of Philip Forsbergs that should be a 40-goal scorer.
And Roman Josi's.
Norris
Trophy candidates.
Yeah, a Norris Trophy candidate. Victor Arvidsson. I mean, Pekka has won the Vezina, is the greatest goaltender to play in Nashville ever. and we'll have a statue outside of Bridgestone Arena one day. They have to figure this out. They just have to. I've said it over and over, but I'm tired of just being okay with a point or giving a half you-know-what effort against certain teams that you shouldn't do, you know, playing down to your competition. And I don't know if the message of Peter Laviolette just wasn't resonating anymore and the guys were like, yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, you had had the guy from the Breakfast Club like sitting in the front row going like, yeah, Pete, yeah, whatever. Does Barry Manilow know that you have his wardrobe or something like that? I don't know.
God.
I'm all over the place. But they have to now get somebody in there that can motivate these guys to a level that they haven't been at in some time.
So how about I pose this question to you then for our discussion in the next segment? Because I'm looking at Cap Friendly and all these contracts here. At what point is it a start over? Is it a blow up? Philip Forsberg's contract is last year's 21-22. Okay. And then you have Glenlyn Smith ending after this year. Grimaldi, throwing it out there, but he's earning another contract out there. Obviously, you have Yossi for a while. Ekholm is at the end of 21-22. So you have a couple more seasons there with him. Then everything starts to reset as well. So at what point is it next season is the last season? And then you try to make some decisions on what's the future of this team? I think we should have a discussion about that.
Absolutely. We'll do it. It is Preds Extra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Good tune bringing us back. Chase McCabe, Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio here on Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you're just tuning in, Peter Laviolette is out as the head coach of the Nashville Predators. Kevin McCarthy out as associate coach as well. David Poile to hold a press conference tomorrow at 11:45. You will hear that as a part of Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All of our shows, of course, get started at 6 a.m. with Morning Drive, and we'll take you through up until Predators pregame. As you know what? They do play a game tomorrow. The head coach is listed as TBA. Never heard of him. I hope he's good on the power play.
I heard he has a really good diss track. Oh, sorry. You made a dad joke first, so don't even.
I did. Honestly, the befuddled look was just me trying to come up with a response, and my brain is like, nope, we're done.
Hi-yo, I win.
Yeah, you win. So, look, we're going to have answers tomorrow on is it an interim? Is this the coach of the future? You know, what is this going to look like? And look, David Poile he needs to be close to the answer, but he may not have the answer at 8:48 tonight. I mean, who knows when this was actually decided? I mean, was there a conversation on the plane coming back? Because, you know, I've talked to some people in the know, and they didn't know. I mean, they just, this came out of nowhere.
Nothing leaked.
Yeah, nothing leaked. So you got to wonder, you know, and you brought this up earlier of, okay, was there a conversation of, hey, listen, I know you're loyal to Kevin McCarthy. We got to make a change with him.
Right.
You know, Mike Mularkey's a great, you know, that is a great analogy of, it's like, hey, that's my guy. He goes, I go. You know, you got to respect that.
I get it. You're a package deal. But it cost him his job. And it's one of those things I've seen plenty of people on social media post too of, I just wanted McCarthy to go. I didn't want Peter Laviolette to go. I really did like him. And so I get that. But it is really tough when there's loyalty, and I respect loyalty when it comes to that, but he's fallen on his sword for his friend, which, again, totally understand. But you look at the past, too. Let's go ahead and look back at last season.
Okay.
When things are getting frustrating for the power play, right? Really frustrating for the power play. Kevin McCarthy was apparently in charge of that at that time. And then early March, Dan Muse took over in the power play. And I was in Minnesota for one of the earlier practices of Dan Muse taking over the power play unit. It had a little bit of a spike, but it still ended up being poor. Mm-hmm. And even in the playoffs. The playoffs, had they converted on average on the power play, they might have actually won the series against Dallas. I mean, right. When you think of the way they lost those games. So you look at that, they make a little change by bringing in Dan Lambert. The power play started off well in October and has done okay. Then you had some struggles on the penalty kill. And you start going, well, who's in charge of the penalty kill now? What's going on here? You have to make that choice. Do you want the number one power play unit or the number one penalty kill unit? What do you want? Somewhere in the middle, the average. League average is always at best. So all these different struggles keep leading up to it. And you start asking, well, it comes down to the head coach, right? When it comes down to this. So, but Kevin McCarthy had his hands in so many of these different things as well. So it makes it frustrating because people didn't even know who to blame. And they were everyone's always looking for someone to blame when it comes to that. And so, again, it goes down to the loyalty to a fault for Peter Laviolette that was not able to make that decision to get rid of his friend, Kevin McCarthy, and therefore there's that. That's all rumor and speculation.
Yeah.
But you can obviously read a little bit of that there, too, that it could have been the case that they did not like the way it was going with those two in charge because Kevin McCarthy was the associate head coach.
I go back to the end of the year press conference last season. Peter Laviolette sat in front of all of us, was asked about the power play, and gave a very long, I mean, it was close to 5 minutes, the answer that he gave, because he went into detail of everything that went into it, that they brought people in, and they consulted different people, and they changed, you know, they went from McCarthy to Muse, and, you know, Peter has it, had his hands in it. The thing that stood out to me, and at that it was at that point in time where I said the clock has now started, is because he looked at all of us and he said, every decision that is made, every lineup decision, every player decision, every coach decision, scheme goes through me. I'm the head coach. Anything that happens on this team, I know about, and I'm paraphrasing, but it goes through me, essentially is what he said. I love hearing that from a head coach.
Responsibility. You know,
that is how it should be. You're the head man. You need to know everything going on in your house. However, when you say that... And things go wrong. Well, guess what? Then you say, okay, things are going wrong. It's on you. Everything that goes through you goes you. You go bye-bye. That's how, I mean, that's.
You go bye-bye.
You go bye-bye. That's how it works. And I think David had to look at that and you encompass everything. If David goes to Peter and says, Kevin McCarthy's got to go, and Dave and Peter says, well, I disagree with that decision. David has to make a tough call, and he did.
Very tough.
And I'm not saying that's how it went down. I'm just saying that is a part of...
That's the way we read it.
Right.
That's the way we read it.
That is a part of saying everything goes through me, and it's all right. My decisions. And so he'll have time to look at it. And I'm sure Peter Laviolette will talk at some point. I mean, I hope he does. I would love to talk to him. Okay. I'd love to hear from him. And hear his side of it, because I think there are two sides to every story, and then somewhere in the middle lies the truth. They had a good run here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought David Poile was very complimentary in his statement. I'm sure we'll hear more of the same tomorrow. But at the end of the day, the changes, the tweaks, however you want to put it, that they made, they weren't working. Because guess what? The power play is still not great. Penalty kill sucks. And I mean, when this team's 5-on-5, you're like, oh, okay, I feel better. You know, the offense is working. Special teams not working. And you also have to wonder, this is where we're going to learn, okay, was Dan Lambert a good hire? Was Dan Muse a good hire? Because I think Peter had his hands on everything.
Right.
Back to the previous point. I think he had his hand on everything. Well, now the new guy is going to come in because he doesn't have any relationship with them. He didn't have any loyalty to them.
Right.
He's going to come in and he's going to go, all right, do your thing. See how this works.
Yep. And we'll see.
And then it's an evaluation process.
So,
and if things clean up and they work, then you might know what the problem was. If they don't, then you have to make some other decisions and have other conversations.
So now we pose this question because I do want to tease it because it is tough decisions coming up. When you think about it, some contracts are going to be coming to an end soon.
Yeah.
And it's not going negative per se. It's more of a we got to look at this future because we got to see because – you, when you make the decision of when is this cup window closing and could it remain open and have it just kind of open a little bit to remake the playoffs, but you know you're not going to be able to make a deep run in terms of making changes to the roster as well. And I say this and people are going to be like, whoa, really? Yeah. Philip Forsberg only has 2 years left for this one on his contract. And you say, oh, well, it's 2 years. Well, yeah, but you look at the window here because after in those 2 years, Pekka is going to be retiring, right? So Yusuf Saros is going to be coming in. And then Mattias Ekholm is going to be an expiring contract, and now you have all these big contracts in there like Ryan Johansson's, like Matt Duchesne's, Roman Josi's, Ryan Ellis, even though it's a fair deal with what Ryan Ellis is being paid, but all those contracts adding up don't give you as much wiggle room to re-sign these guys for a raise, because obviously from Philip Forsberg, $6 million, if he continues to progress as he has or stay in plateau, he's still going to earn a raise in today's NHL. Mattias Ekholm is a value right now, 3.75 mil. Both of those expire at the end of 21-22. So then you make the decision. If you're going to make tremendous changes, do you make it after then? Do you make it after this season? Do you make it on the fly? Do you decide, hey, you know, we're going to go through a little bit of rebuild and let's just get draft picks? Or do you try to make some splashes in free agency and get rid of other guys that might not be fitting the system? Because some things are going to come off the books. We're still not sure about Craig Smith and Mikael Glennon. I can't imagine Mikael Glennon being a Predator next season. But I still could see Craig Smith, if he's willing to take the same money, which is going to be very, very tough as well, because there's going to be a team out there that would say, 20 goals? Sure, we'll give you six. So I mean, it's going to be tough.
I'd give him 4.5. I know that's not much, or 4.75, but I wouldn't go.
And, he'll get more in the open market.
Yeah, he will.
I
like Craig Smith a lot. I think he fits this team. Now, obviously, the system's about to change. He fits this team and works his you-know-what off. I mean, he's been playing well all year and is finally getting rewarded for it with the goals that he's scoring. I mean, that's Craig Smith. I mean, I still think he's going to score 20 this year.
He will somehow.
So he's a solid player.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just how much money is he going to want? Which I get. I mean, that you got to do what's best for you. Well, unfortunately, my friend, we are out of time. That is going
to
do it.
I'll take it to Twitter.
We're going to take it to Twitter and Periscope. I'll be on Fox 17 coming up at around 9:45 talking about this, so you can check that out. Again, 6 a.m. tomorrow, morning drive. Corey Curtis from News 2 in for Braden alongside Derek Mason. They'll have full reaction, and we'll have it all day long. My thanks to Justin Bradford, Max Herz, and everybody for listening. I'm Chase McCabe. Have a great night, everybody. ESPN 102.5 The Game.